Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hey church, would you stand up? Let's give a massive C3 BD welcome to Pastor Claude Carello tonight.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you might be a little bit nervous because the preacher's got a teddy with him, and that's okay. I was nervous when the youth broke out in that song. I thought, oh my goodness, do you get those weirdos in Brisbane also? And so I'm so thankful that that was just a cool and hip little, I don't know what you call it. A chant. Wasn't a flash dance because you didn't dance, but that is so good. Can we pray before we get started tonight? Father, I do want to thank you that you are here in a very real manifest way. Father, thank you for the worship that we experienced, the great message we got over offering. But God, right now, would you capture us in this moment? God, I'm praying that you would cause the sun to stand still for a few minutes tonight so that everything you want to do, you can do. God, I bind myself now to the blood of Jesus and the anointings of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would think through me, you'd speak through me, you'd move through me tonight to touch every single person. God, that there wouldn't be just one message tonight, but there would be many individual messages right across this room, that you would speak into the heart of every single person tonight, that you'd bring them into a place where they have a passionate relationship with you that rises them above their circumstances. God, we're reminded tonight that you said that those of us that have received an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you said, will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 Come on, give him a hand. Give the Lord a hand bigger than you gave me or anyone else tonight. So good you can be seated. So good to be here. Can I thank your amazing pastors, Grew and Wendy, for the incredible job they're doing in leading this church. I have an affectionate love for your previous senior pastors. I call him the Doc. Gordon and Joe, I just love them. They are like our favorite kind of people in the world. They're grandparents to our church. I have a spiritual father in Africa, but we really look to your previous senior pastors as just their grandparents to our church. We love them. I'm so thankful that they're in our lives and have chosen to remain in our lives for as long as we will hold on to them. So that's cool, don't you think? I'm ready to jump straight in. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. I do want to say right up the top that tonight is not therapy for me. I'm a little bit surprised tonight that I stand here in a place of full buoyancy spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. Hasn't always been the case. And tonight we're going to touch on some of those things. And the message that I'll share with you tonight includes a dashboard that we'll put up in a little way into the message. And it's to help every single person in the room handle this thing called mental health. I want to make sure that you hear me correctly. I'm talking about mental health. And along the way, we're going to look at facets of mental illness and causes, specifically of depression, anxiety, and fear. And I've discovered over the years through my experience and studies and talking with medical doctors, with psychiatrists and psychologists, that there are different causes for mental illness. And often what's happening in our world today is we're prescribing the wrong cure because we don't know the cause. I want to say tonight there's not a one-size-fits-all solution. We'll also look at the fact tonight is that some of us at certain periods in our life experience what I would call a perfect storm of mental illness causes, and as a result we find ourselves in very, very vulnerable stages, like I found myself in 2009, where I came way too close to jumping off the 14th story of a balcony at a hotel where I'd gone to celebrate my birthday. My wife had booked out the presidential suite. I should have been celebrating, but I came way too close to jumping over the edge. I also want to say tonight that for those of you that have been taught or heard that suicide is a guarantee to eternal damnation, you've been lied to. I want to make this clear. People that say that, don't understand the character of God. I was working a job. I was bivocational. I worked a full-time job, 50, 60 hours a week, plus leading my church up until 2012. I was on a job where I was the project manager. I was making a lot of money for our company. They changed their general managers. General manager came in, and I don't know why. I mean, why would he not take a liking to me? But he didn't. And he seemed to go on a mission to go after me. And there was a whole bunch of injustices. And you can tell that I'm a really soft and reserved kind of personality. I just stayed back and took it all. No, I didn't. I got on the front foot and said some things. I did it all in the right way. And it came to a place where I just gave them 24 hours notice. That's all I needed to do. Because I went into bat for another employee who was being bullied. And I said, I'm not going to stand for this stuff. And 24 hours later, finished. The heart-wrenching thing that happened, though, a week later, I resigned on the Thursday. I finished on the Friday with a barbecue, got thanks from the guys that I backed up. And 1 week later, on the Friday morning, I woke up. I just finished my devotions and I got a call from my ex-general manager. And his voice had tones in it that I'd never heard before. And what he proceeded to do was begin to apologize to me. You see, Claude, you're probably going to find this hard to believe, but I'm actually a brother in Christ. And this morning I was having my quiet time, which I haven't done for a while, and I got convicted of how harshly I dealt with you. And I want to say sorry. Now I broke. I just thanked him and encouraged him and immediately released forgiveness and said, there's no issues. I understand. Been through some of that stuff myself. And I wish that the story ended nicely. It didn't. 1 week later to the day, he gassed himself, committed suicide. We're in a real fight. You're looking at a person who, wind the clock back 15 years ago, I didn't believe in depression, anxiety or fear. I used to make dumb statements like you can't be depressed and hang around Jesus. Maybe that's why God allowed me to go through what I went through. So I want to kick off tonight by reading to you from a scripture that I quoted during prayer. The Bible says that if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, speaking of the first Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. Can I remind us that are preachers tonight, and can I just also take time out to welcome the pastors from the other locations? So good to have you here. Thank you for supporting the meetings and being here. It's an honor to serve with you. You're flipping heroes in this city, raising up the name of Jesus. You are the hope of your city and your suburb. Thank you for being here tonight. Can I remind us tonight that we need to understand that there's a big difference between the work of the cross and the way of the cross. The work of the cross is for sinners. Jesus died once for all. But the way of the cross is for saints. We die to self so that we can live for Christ. And sometimes I think some of the stuff that we go through is just to make sure that we are fully dead. There are three dimensions of the cross. It's the principle of the cross, which is death. The place of the cross, Golgotha. And when you study Golgotha and what happened there, back in Genesis, there's a prophecy that says, you will crush his head, but he will bruise your heel. And I believe with all of my heart, spiritually speaking, that when that cross was dropped into the place of the skull called Golgotha, it crushed the head of the enemy. But since then, we have been experiencing a fight where the church has had its heel bruised by the enemy. And sometimes our walk gets affected. And this is this thing that we call mental health or mental illness. The final dimension of the cross is the power of the cross. It's the resurrection power of the cross. Your pastor's been speaking about it all morning, that that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. And you can overcome depression. You can overcome anxiety and fear. You can get to a place, you can get back to the place where you got the eye of the tiger on the inside of you and you're ready to fight the fight. We are destined to reign on this earth through Jesus Christ. To reign means to exercise kingly power over something. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, one of my most famous scriptures says this: Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. That word oppressed there means to exercise harsh control over one, to use one's power against. I want to set a platform before we take off. Is that okay? In Luke chapter 21 and verse 26, Jesus said of these days that we are living in, In the last days, men's hearts will fail them from fear and the expectation of things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I'm convinced with all of my heart that Jesus prophesied this so that we would not be caught off guard. Someone said to me recently, why are we seeing so much of this issue of depression and mental health? We've never seen it before. I said, rubbish. My grandparents went through a whole season, 20 or 30 years, and it got called the Great Depression. It's not a new thing, but we've forgotten the old truths that help us overcome these situations. I've got to tell you tonight, I want to talk to you about five key causes of mental illness. I want to remind you that even if you're a man of God like I was, at the top of our game, we're in the best part of our life. Ministry was great, marriage was great, right? Would you welcome my beautiful wife on the front row? Otherwise known as Jesus' favorite sister. I wake up every morning and get saved again because of her holiness. She's already had 2 hours of devotion and time with Jesus, and all I need is my coffee. Elijah got so depressed that he wanted to die. Gideon's self-esteem was so low, he didn't recognize he was a mighty man of valor. In Psalm 143 in verse 7, it says, come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Don't turn away from me, or I will die. Proverbs 12 and verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I want to tell you here tonight, I've come to bring you a good word. Here it says, anxiety in the heart causes depression. It's an interesting thought because all of us deal with anxiety in our head. The problem kicks in when it gets into our heart. Somebody says to me, how do I know if it's in my heart? I'll tell you how you know if anxiety has got into your heart. You know because you go to bed with it and you wake up with it. And when it gets to that place, you've got to focus your attention on getting out of your heart, getting back into a place of faith so that you can be buoyant in the things that God has called you to be. Let's have a look, because time is short, about five causes of depression. And with every cause, I'm going to look at a corresponding cure, because you've got to match the cure to the cause. Are you ready? The first one is chemical cause. And I think we'll throw up that dashboard. If it's not too distracting now, you can put it up and we'll look at these things. They won't come in the same order because they're kind of mismatched. But the first cause is this thing called a chemical cause. And there are a range of reasons why that these things kick in. Sometimes it's simply a change of life, a genetic predisposition, substance abuse, pregnancy, chronic fatigue, to name a few. And honestly, for most of the cases, except the extreme ones, there is a simple cure. It's called diet and exercise. This afternoon, after watching the fight, I got back to my room and thought, oh, that tired Sunday afternoon thing is on me. And years ago, I'd just lay down on the bed and have a sleep, but then I'd wake up way too lethargic. So I thought, I know what I've got to do. I don't have a gym membership. I don't have enough time to get down to the gym here. I don't want to be the cardio monkey and get on that running machine. So I'm just going to do my 100 push-ups and my 100 squats, and that's going to harvest some energy. Because I've worked out this thing, 80% of my muscle mass is below my hips. And I can get on there and do guns, I can do the press-ups and everything else. But if I just do 100 of these, I'm going to start harvesting some happy hormones. I'm going to start kicking some things into gear. I want to tell you, a healthy diet and good exercise will kick in the happy hormones. Hello, somebody up the back. All you got to do, you know, you got your excuses. I can't afford a membership. I can't do this. I don't have enough time. But it took me 15 minutes in my hotel room, a very small space, to pump out a few push-ups, do a few squats, and all of a sudden I'm coming out and I'm getting on the front row. These young guys are bouncing up and down. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I can do that. I got some energy. I'm not falling asleep. But you've got to understand that healthy diet, none of us would pull up at the service station and all of a sudden they've got a special on, half price petrol filled with dirty oil and dirty water. None of us would make a decision, if we're smart, to put that in our car, because we want that thing to take us where it needs to take us with clean fuel, clean food. Healthy diet, lots of water. What does the preacher do? What's the last thing a preacher does before he gets on stage? Well, the second last thing he does is go off for the nervous toilet stop. You've seen me do that today. Last thing he does is check that his fly's up. Always a T-shirt to show that it doesn't matter if it's down anyway. But let me tell you, there is a science to how much water you should be drinking. Before you have tea or coffee throughout the day, they say it is 39 millilitres of water for every 1 kilo of body weight. At 88 kilos, that means I've got to be pumping out over 3 litres of water a day. You got to know it makes a whole difference to the way you'll operate, how you'll think, your short-term memory. A chemical cause of mental illness needs the right cure. Predominantly, it's diet and exercise. But in extreme cases, where it's a chemical imbalance, where it's a predisposition, you're going to need to go and see a medical professional, a doctor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, get correctly diagnosed and get the right solution. That's why I think mental health drugs are suitable for certain people. And it's not a lack of faith. They're not unspiritual. Please don't be telling somebody if you don't know the cause. Please don't tell them pray and read your Bible, because if they're my kind of personality, they're going to slap you. Because there's no amount of praying and reading your Bible is going to fix a chemical cause of mental illness. The second cause of mental illness can be cognitive. When I say cognitive, I'm saying established negative thought patterns that need to be deconstructed and replaced with positive thought patterns until they become positive strongholds. The cure is to rewire your brain with a detox program like Dr. Caroline Leese, like Stephen Furtick's shutting up the chatterbox, like, Craig Rochelle's Soul Detox, positive mental attitude books filling your brain, rewiring the way it thinks, will bring you into a place of a higher strength in your cognitive function. Let me tell you, no pill will fix your source if it is cognitive. Maybe you were raised in a very negative environment. Maybe significant people in your world along the journey told you you were no good. You'd never amount to anything. You're a disappointment. You're a disgrace to the family. One of the things that I heard when I was young. Listen, you can't take that on and own it, because it'll bring you to a place where you've got a low self-esteem. And you know, we need to be able to be the kind of people that are strong enough to reject rejection. You've got to know this. When somebody rejects you, it's just your opportunity for an upgrade. You've got to know that. And the cure for a cognitive source is to rewire your brain. Work on your most valuable asset, your mind, and get it to a place where you can stare adversity in the face. Have you ever noticed, that you never get haters from people that are doing better than you? It'll never take place. It's always from someone that's doing worse than you in that situation, and all of a sudden, you've got the haters. How did she get hooked up with him? Who does she think she is? The third source that we're going to look at tonight of mental illness can be circumstances, simple everyday problems and events that are intensely negative. You know how it is. You're a good person. You're full of faith. You know how to fight the good fight. And you go into work on Tuesday morning and the boss brings you into his office and says, you're being retrenched. You could read the signs and the seasons and you could see it coming. So when you walk out of the office, you're not deflated. You're in this place of faith and hope, and you just really know that you're going to get through and there'll be another job and God is your provider. And you go home that afternoon and everything's looking good until the fridge dies. The car breaks down. You kick the cat on the way in and there's a vet bill that you've got to foot up for. And these circumstances layer on top and on top and top and top. It's circumstantial and it causes you to have negative thoughts and have certain anxiety and fear about the future, but it's a circumstantial cause. The cure for that is not a pill. The cure for that is the Word of God, fighting the good fight, understanding that this too will pass. The qualities of self-control and perseverance will get you through. Hello, somebody. Yes. Hello, somebody. You can do this thing. There are some circumstantial things going on in your world right now, and you don't need a pill. You don't need psychology. You don't need to sit with the pastor and be counseled. You just need to get into the Word of God and fight the good fight of faith and realize that this too will pass. I'm mindful of not moving too fast, but I think I can go to point four now. And one of the things I've discovered is there is such thing as a curse. A spiritual assignment against people's lives, witchcraft, demonic curses that come upon our lives. And someone would say, how do I know if it's a curse? I've discovered two things that really help us identify if it's a curse that we're dealing with. Number one, sometimes we discover that we're dealing with this unknown source, an unexplainable, untraceable sickness or problem or obstacle. My wife has never suffered with mental illness until the middle of last year. All of a sudden, she had a shoulder problem, and then this other thing came on, and like all this sickness. And for the very first time, I recognized the sign. I've got a bit of a radar nowadays. And in the early days, I kind of said, oh, honey, it looks like you're dealing with, okay, a few weeks later, I think I might be. But what we discovered, she couldn't get well. She couldn't get her energy back. And no matter what the doctors did, they couldn't find the problem. It was an unknown source. Untraceable. What we did discover is, in during that time, there was a spiritual force coming against it, and we got together, when we broke it in the name of Jesus, we stood against it, and freedom came. Sometimes there's an unseen force, not just an unknown source, but there's like this unseen force coming against us, and we don't know what it is, but no matter what I seem to do, things just turn to mud. Like, I'd done all the preparation, done my due diligence, and we acted right, but it just all went pear-shaped. It all went to deep Wheaties. Really? 16 Wheaties a day? Gosh, I thought I had it on lock at 6. Seriously? That's a lot of Wheaties. What is the cure if your source is a curse? It's simple, really. Exercise kingdom authority over the spirit. Yes. Boldly confront the spirit. Yes. Let me tell you, in 2009, when I stood on that balcony, is it okay to head down there? Sitting on the lazy boy, my wife and I have checked in, had a great time doing what husbands and wives do when you go to a hotel, playing Scrabble and stuff. And I'd gone out on the balcony for a rest because it was quite arduous praying Scrabble. And Kaz had gone for a sleep. Like, I'm in a good headspace. Of course I'm in a good headspace. But all of a sudden, as I sat there, I went from great to bad really quickly. And started to center in on all the negatives. And when I got to the bottom of that pit, I can't explain it, but I just seen that the only solution was getting up from my lazy boy. Grabbing the rail and jumping. And it got so strong that I literally see myself doing it. It's unlike me. It's unlike you. We've got this survival thing on the inside of us. It's how God made us. He made us to fight. He made us to win. He made us to conquer. And the more and more it went on, it just felt so overwhelming. I felt like something on the inside of me was going to cause me to jump. I knew I could do it in one leap. And thank God for what I did in the summer of my life. Thank God for what I did in my days of discipleship and putting the Word of God on the inside of me and memorizing Scripture and doing the stuff that at times felt dry and not really giving me the result. But in my moment of need, the Holy Spirit spoke on the inside of me and said, Claude, stand up, point your finger and say this. And so I did. I stood up and I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of suicide and murder, I rebuke you right now. I will not take my life. I will not jump over the edge. I will live and I won't die. And for some of you tonight, you'll say, you know what, Claude, that sounds all really great, but I don't really get it. I want to tell you, it's a reality. There's others in here tonight, you say, you know, I've been in that place, but I just don't seem to have the ability, the strength, the energy to face that thing. And I want to say to mums and to dads, I want to say to brothers and to sisters, I want to say to friends tonight, you know what we need in the church now like never before? We need people that will stand up and point their finger on behalf of somebody else and say, you're not taking my brother, you're not taking my husband, you're not taking my work colleague, you're not taking my... We need people that will stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of suicide and depression, anxiety, you get off his life. You go from him. You go from her. I want to tell you, I know that through these times, it was my wife and others that were shoring me up in prayer that gave me the ability to stand. And having done all to stand, I know that was because of what I put on the inside of me during the days of my own discipleship that the Holy Spirit used. And I just thank God that he had empowered me by his grace to reign in that moment. Let me tell you, if your cause is a curse, no amount of counseling, no pharmaceutical drug, no amount of going to the gym is going to help you in your time of need. What's going to deliver you? The anointing that's going to come and destroy that yoke and take off that oppression is going to come through the spiritual authority of a man or woman who is free and able to exercise that authority on your behalf. The final cause that we'll look at tonight, and these are the five main causes. I think there are others, but these are the five main ones. The last one is the most popular one. Not. The last one is Christ. I'm convinced that Christ can be a cause of depression. You go, goodness me, Claude, are you serious? You think you're preaching the gospel tonight and you're telling us that Jesus can put this stuff on us? What I'm telling you is that it's an unpopular truth, but I'm convinced that sin is a source of depression. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14, it says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear." Because of his deep rebellion against what he knew was right in the sight of God. Friend, I've got to love you enough and respect you enough to give you the truth, not just what's popular. And here's the truth. There are places and certain aspects of sin that we can go into and it will open up a source of depression and anxiety that is actually sent from the Lord, not because he wants to judge us, but because he loves us. With Saul, he exposed Saul to that depression and anxiety because of his love for him. He wanted to bring him back. And every time David came along, played the music, he was released from the tormenting spirit. God, in love, was trying to woo Saul back into a right relationship with his heavenly Father. There are people here tonight, online, searching the wrong things, in a place of rebellious sin against God, and you wonder why you can't get your head straight. You wonder why you don't feel right in the presence of God. You wonder why there's these anxious thoughts about what if they find out and what if this goes on. I want to tell you that sometimes the cause can be Christ, and the only cure is repentance. Wow. Say sorry, be sorry, seek change. Yeah. Repentance, change your heart. Change your mind. Change your direction. What you need most of all out of those three is a change. That was a pretty good trick, eh? You need a change of heart. And only God can do that. I guess you're all wondering why I brought my teddy with me tonight. And that's because I wanted to talk to you about the two worst days of my life. Unfortunately, I didn't want to talk to you about it. Holy Spirit said to you. And so the first worst day, well, during this journey, was on my third visit to the psychologist. First one, I kind of went, meh, told you psychologists weren't any help. Second one, I went, maybe she's touching on some stuff. On the third one, she now knows my story. 8 years old, I witnessed my grandparents get killed in a car accident, went to rescue them with my dad, and they were dead at 8. Ambulance services found me in hysterics with my fists going after the drunks that had just hit my grandparents. Couldn't get me out of hysterics, so they tranquilized me, put me to sleep. I woke up 13 hours later. to live the nightmare. From the age of 14 to 16, I listened to my mother groan in pain as she died slowly from cancer. Age 21, my best mate was in a fight with his twin brother, died from a freak hit to his Adam's apple. During this process of counselling, psychologist puts a teddy in my hand and says, Claude, I've come to the conclusion that emotionally you stopped growing at about age 14 when you couldn't handle it anymore. So I want you to hold this teddy and speak to your 14-year-old self. It sounds really weird even when they said it to me, but I remember it all so clearly. Flipping worst day of my life, Gru. I'm a grown man, for goodness sake. I'm 40 years old, sitting on a couch, speaking to a flipping teddy that makes noise, apparently. Which is just beautiful. And I can't tell you how it worked, but it helped rewire my brain about how I've seen my world and reconciled the future tragedies that took place and came to a place of acceptance of a few things and moved on. The next one was Australia Day, 2015. I remember it clearly. We were supposed to be having a family day, one of our few days off, and I spent 8 hours on the couch in the deepest, darkest dungeons of depression. Short story is that the heart attack that I'd had a year earlier brings on a natural side of depression and anxiety, but what I didn't know, some drugs that they were giving me for my heart condition were also causing suicide and depression. I'd spent the last 3 months of my life fighting with every bit of attitude I had in me, knowing that I would just wake up tomorrow morning and experience 6 hours of darkness and I'd have to do these mental exercises and all these other things to get back into a happy place. But after 3 or 4 months on the trot, I was tired. 6 days out of 7 waking up in deep darkness. I spent 8 hours on the couch and all I wanted to do was die. And I recognized that I'd hurt my wife and hurt my family. I hadn't been there and this was supposed to be a great day, but I was just this horrible pinhead the entire day. So I went to my doctor the next day and I said, Doc, I've never had any medication for mental illness throughout this entire journey, but I need something now because I can't do it anymore. I've lost the energy. I've lost the fight. But this doctor was in my church and he said, Pastor, why didn't you tell me before? This medication in some of our clients causes deep depression. This one causes suicidal thoughts. The moment we find out, we take our patients off it because the side effects are worse than heart disease. What do you know? He takes me off the medication and within a few days, I'm loving the world again. Within 2 weeks, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's take on the world. It's all good. Because the cause was chemical. Back in 2006, when it first started, I fronted up in 2009 and started to do something about it. That was a perfect storm. It was a number of things coming in. And it took a number of skills and wisdom of God to come in and set me free. But I want to tell you, it's the miraculous power of the gospel. So to land tonight, I want to encourage you that prevention is better than cure. If you will start now in a summer of your life, start now while you do have the energy with regular exercise, raw clean food, a right heart, copious amounts of laughter, plenty of water, taking ownership on your words and your thoughts. Taking responsibility for your words and your thoughts, because your words and your thoughts, they locate you. And if you will locate yourself and begin to work on your words and your thoughts, you can shift your world. Do it in the sunshine. Declare, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. I am the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. God is on my side. I cannot lose. If God is for me, who can be against me? I fear God and Him alone I will trust. Exercise. Get the happy hormones going. Do it. Find 30. You don't have to go to the gym. Just get out and walk. Get in your room and do those squats. If you want to get the girls, guys, do the curls. understand that there's stuff that you can do. I know tonight one of my favorite meals would be after the meeting to go back and have a nice plate of pasta and a little bit of red wine. It's just like a great meal. I'll never do it at nighttime because that food affects me. I know that if I'm going to have pasta at night and a glass of red wine, I'll wake up dark in the morning and I just don't want to do it. I'm aware of my body. If I'm going to do it, it'll be at lunchtime, and I'll make sure there's a decent workout and a couple of liters of water along the way to wash it all through the system. Can I encourage you? Stir yourself up in this area. Get excited about going to the gym, working out, going for a walk. Start small, but increase it every time you can. Get off the junk food. Did I mention junk food? Get off the junk food. Have it once a week if you must. This afternoon, my beautiful wife came in with some nice dark chocolate. And I went, oh, yeah, weakness. And I thought, oh, I've just finished 100 push-ups and 100 squats. I can do that. No way, man. I want to be in the right space tonight because God wants to change people's lives. Had a little slice, put the other three back in the fridge and went, I'll have that later. Friends, this is what I really want to say to you tonight. Friends, family, you need to know that if your source of mental illness is cognitive, no pharmaceutical drug will fix your problem. At the same time, if it's chemical, no amount of praying, casting out of demons, or meditation on the word will fix your problem. But the right diet, correctly administered medication, and a mental health plan will work. The work of the cross is for sinners. Jesus died once for all. Your cause could be chemical, could be cognitive, could be circumstantial, could be a curse, could be Christ.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.